Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Tottenham Way, which is being recorded a couple of days before the preseason friendly with Shakhtar. And we'll have a reaction pod to that game as well. I'm Marcus Buckland in a somewhat noisy cafe in Whitstable. So I hope I'm coming through reasonably clearly. You may hear a coffee machine or a couple of very excited locals just wandering by over the next 20 minutes or so. The two Toms are busy preparing for the new campaign. At least that's what they've told us. I think they're both lying on a beach somewhere, but they need to be fully revived for the new season, which is just a few days away. Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard is in situ, though a happily married man these days. So congrats, big fella. Have you recovered from all the celebrations?
Hi, Marcus. Yeah, I have actually. It was a great day Saturday. Thank you for coming. And slightly worse for wear Sunday, but yeah, feeling as good as you now.
Well, it was a terrific day. I think it outshone Eric Dyer's wedding. Of that, there is no doubt. I did wonder whether we would need tissues and strong drinks going to this pod, not because you just got married, but because of the ongoing Harry Kane situation. Now, I read during the week that he had said, or somebody on his behalf had said, that if he's still at the club come the opening game against Brentford, he'll stay for the season. But we also know there have been ongoing negotiations with Bayern Munich. So what is your latest reading of the situation?
Well, Harry Kane certainly hasn't said that. He hasn't said anything this summer, as far as I'm aware. But what I heard at the beginning of this week was that Kane had made it clear that if he was still a Spurs player come the Brentford game, so on August 13th, he would remain a Spurs player at least until January, but we expect for the whole season. Whether that is part of a strategy to put a bit of pressure on Spurs and kind of set a deadline for them to agree a fee with Bayern, I'm not sure. But that was certainly what Kane expected to happen. And I've just seen a story literally as we started recording in the last couple of minutes from Jason Burt in The Telegraph saying that Bayern Munich have set a deadline of midnight for Spurs to agree a deal with Harry Kane. His intro is Bayern Munich are understood to set a deadline of midnight on Friday for Tottenham Hotspur to accept their latest offer for Harry Kane. As I said, this has literally just been filed and posted, so I'm not sure. Well, I haven't read the stories. I'm not sure what else Jason says, but that's a very interesting development. I mean, it suggests to me that from both sides, you know, the Bayern side and the Kane side, you know, they're trying to exert pressure on Tottenham not to drag this out, to get this deal done relatively quickly. But as ever, you know, Daniel Levy holds, if not all, then certainly some of the aces in this negotiation. So it'll be down to him.
Obviously, I'm completely on the outside of all this, so it's purely a hunch on my behalf, but I don't, maybe it's just because I want to think this, but do you get the impression that although there are lots of good reasons for Kane leaving the club, both from his own point of view and from the club's point of view, do you sense that deep down, perhaps he has got a degree of reluctance about going to Germany in particular?
Yeah, I do think Bayern Munich would be a bit of a disappointing move for Kane. I mean, no one doubts their domestic and European pedigree, obviously, but they already win the Bundesliga every year. Without Kane, maybe he's going there because he thinks they can win the Champions League under Tuchel, who's obviously done it before with Chelsea, but I'd still have City as the overwhelming favourites for that competition next season. I still think Real Madrid would probably be the second favourites given their pedigree in the Champions League. So it just would feel a little bit underwhelming for me, and obviously limit his chances of breaking Shearer's record. Although I do think he can go overseas and still come back and do that, as we've discussed before and as I've written before. I think there must be an element of Kane that is thinking about, you know, holding on, you know, perhaps seeing what happens at Spurs, and then, you know, potentially being in a position in a year's time where he's got the pick of Europe's top clubs. You know, Barcelona could be an option then, Real, and the chance to play up front, maybe with Mbappe and Vinicius, could be an option in a year. City might be an option, particularly if Haaland was to go to Real instead. So, yeah, I don't think Kane should be rushing to join Bayern this summer. But clearly, you know, from what we're reading, you know, it's certainly an option he would consider.
Yeah, well, as we've said every week for the last few weeks, it's a constantly evolving story. We could get dated on this, and therefore what I'm going to say now will sound very silly, but I'm starting to go back on what I previously said, which was get 100 million quid for him. Actually, no, Harry, stay. Because just maybe under Ange, we're going to do something incredible. James Maddison in your newspaper has been talking about how he's desperate to link up with Kane. This reminds me of Kane does go of many years back when we sold Gary Lineker. I think I'm right in saying this, the same summer that Chris Waddle arrived at the club. And you're thinking, oh, Waddle providing for Lineker, fantastic. And here we've got Maddison who could be providing for Kane. So who knows? But if Jason Burt is correct, then this story is clearly going to develop over the course of the next 24 hours or so. Another striker, Alejo Vélez, hope I've got that right, is close to joining, apparently. What do you know about him and what will his immediate role be?
Well, I don't know a great deal about him, to be honest. He's an Argentina under-20 international. He played in the recent under-20 World Cup, which was in May and June. Did very well for Argentina there, scored a few goals. He plays for Rosario Central in the Argentinian Premier Division. He's said to be a very, very good prospect. You know, he's a big centre-forward. Someone's already made a kind of compilation video on YouTube called Welcome to Tottenham. I do respect these guys for putting the effort in so quickly. So I've had a look at some of his goals, and he looks like a kind of big centre forward. He scores lots of headers. You'd imagine, given his kind of physique and height, I think he's about 6'2", he would be kind of okay to adapt to the Premier League over time. But I don't think he's one for the first team immediately. You know, from what I heard from Spurs this morning, he would be a similar signing to kind of Pape Mete Sarr, in that he would come in as a very highly rated teenager from a foreign league and be expected to maybe trouble the first team after a settling in period. I mean, in Sarr's case, he went back to Metz for a year on loan. There's still discussions going on with Rosario about whether he would go back on loan. I think the feeling was that that was unlikely to happen, but still could. I mean, they've got a second phase of their Premier Division, which runs from August to kind of mid-November. So potentially he could come in January after another kind of 6 months with Rosario, which would feel like a decent compromise to me, maybe. I don't think this is the Harry Kane replacement. You know, this isn't someone that's going to step up and play loads of games next season if he does arrive. It would be a signing for the kind of medium-term future and someone who, you know, could perhaps be replacing Kane's goals sort of 2 or 3 years down the line, if indeed Kane does go.
Well, I'll look forward to having a look at his compilation of goals. I just hope that nobody tells him that it's a striker's graveyard. Aside from Harry Kane, we could do a compilation of all the great forward players of the past 10 or 15 years who've come to a great fanfare and disappeared, having probably scored 1 in 6 between them, something like that. But anyway, he sounds like an exciting youngster. Mickey van de Ven, now we know, very quick, very highly regarded, arriving imminently, according to most reports. Will he be the last peg in the defensive jigsaw, do you think?
Possibly. Spurs have not ruled out pretty much the whole summer signing two senior centre-halves. What I do understand is that they've cooled their interest or ended talks with Leverkusen for Edmund Tapsoba. He was the other kind of senior centre-back they were sniffing around along with Van de Ven. So, you know, they put all their eggs in the Van de Ven basket now. David Ornstein, who's probably the best transfer reporter in this country, has said it's going to be €50 million. So it's a big fee, you know, over £40 million, I think, which is what Wolfsburg were after from the start. So Spurs have obviously decided he's worth paying that. He's left-footed, which, you know, is crucial. You know, it's quite hard to find left-footed centre-halves now. And he'll obviously complement Christian Romero, who I think we all imagine will be the other starting centre-half in Postecoglou's back four. But he is kind of raw. You know, he's still not a full Netherlands international. He's still not got that many senior games under his belt. So he's kind of a bit like Vicario in that, you know, it feels like he's obviously very promising. He's done some really good things so far, but I think he will take a bit of time to settle in English football. And we shouldn't kind of expect him to immediately be one of the kind of top centre-halves in the country. Not to say he couldn't get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when we have a look at the way the side's been set up during, well, those pre-season matches that Tom B was telling us about. We know he wants to play four at the back. We know that the two fullbacks are exciting going forward, but defensively a little questionable. And Van de Ven won for the future. I've got a horrible feeling. I'm obviously excited about the new season, Dan, but I've got a horrible feeling that at various intervals, we're going to be reflecting on, you know, heavy defeats or certainly matches that have seen the opposition score a lot of goals. And maybe it'll be back to the 90s under Ozzy Ardiles when, you know, they'll score four, we score five. If Kane stays, it could be one of those thrillers. But I think we're going to have to brace ourselves for a few very nasty away days over the next few months.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I mean, we were saying this a few weeks ago when we were talking about the midfield and the possibility that it could be kind of Maddison and Bentancur or Basuma and, you know, two number eights and maybe Bentancur is the deepest player or Basuma is the deepest player. And, you know, it's really exciting going forward. But there isn't a huge amount of kind of protection there. And again, you look at the fullbacks, I doubt it's going to be Porro and Udogie because that would just be so gung-ho. But, you know, wherever you look, there's a lot of quality going forward and you do worry about the kind of solidity at the back. I think for that reason, Emerson Royale, who's has a very good chance to be a pretty key player for Postecoglou, is the kind of fullback that just tucks in unfussily and does the defensive work. But look, everyone knows Spurs needed a new centre-back. It looks like they're going to get one. He's a very exciting player. Liverpool were in for him as well. He's got kind of pace to cover behind in that high Postecoglou line. He's good on the ball. He reminds me a bit of Vertonghen, again, from the sort of compilation clips I've seen. He seems to kind of, you know, have a similar gait and a similar style of bringing the ball out defence. So I think that there's lots of reasons to be excited. But yeah, as we've known from the start, there might be a kind of bedding in period where it's either quite painful or quite chaotic.
Yeah, and Emerson Royale's improved greatly. But if we're relying on him to be the defensive linchpin, then OK, fingers crossed. I read that Lloris, well, we know about Lloris, but Ndombele, Hill and Højbjerg are now deemed to be surplus to requirements. You've made it very clear, quite rightly, over the past few weeks that some players have got to go, whether they want to or not. Are those four names definitely heading towards the exit?
Well, there's no kind of definite about it, really, but Spurs are certainly working on exits and they need to get a move on, really, because they've got a squad of at least kind of 33 or 34 senior players as it stands. It's far too many with no European football. I imagine Postecoglou would really be looking at ideally kind of 19 or 20 professionals. I think, sadly, that the latest kind of brief Ndombele renaissance has quickly petered out on the tour. I've always been an Ndombeliever. But I don't think it's going to happen under Ange. So I think, you know, he's certainly free to find a new club. I expect Roden will be allowed to go. Lloris, we know about, obviously. Højbjerg, I think, for the right offer, will be allowed to go. Atletico Madrid, probably going to stump up an acceptable offer at some point, I'd have thought, for him. And then there's a few who I'm not really sure about. I mean, Lo Celso's look good in pre-season, but I suppose he's a kind of sellable asset, isn't he? So if Spurs got a really good offer for him, then they might consider it. Jed Spence, I think his future's a bit uncertain because there's Porro and Emerson in at right back as well, and he didn't really play on the tour. Sanchez, I expect, can go. So there's a lot to do, and I imagine future or further incomings will depend on whether Spurs can just start shifting these unwanted squad players. But they've got to the end of the month, but I think ideally Postecoglou wouldn't be starting the season with kind of 10 players that he doesn't really want. That's a bit of a messy situation that Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. As there's no European football, they've got to go, you'd have thought. Now, ticket prices have suddenly become an issue. The Tottenham Trust is urging supporters to protest prior to the first home game against Manchester United. Now, as far as I know, and I've just checked, my season ticket has stayed the same. I mean, it's still ridiculously expensive compared to, well, anybody else in this country. But is this potentially a big issue, do you think?
Well, I think it is a big issue for fans. You know, the Trust have made it clear that they oppose ticket price rises. You know, personally, I think they're right. We are living in through a cost of living crisis at the moment. I don't know about you, but I've really started to notice in the last few months that just everything's getting so much more expensive. You know, I go to Co-op and buy about 5 items and it's £30. And, you know, no doubt the club will be saying, well, our costs are going up as well, to justify, you know, these rises. But frankly, the reality is that gate receipts are a relatively small drop in the ocean for a club like Spurs. That is not how they make their big money. It's through competition prize money and above all, broadcast revenue. So they don't need to be making the margins on gate receipts, in my view. And I don't think they should be exploiting fans' loyalty, to borrow a phrase from the Supporters Trust. You know, this is an area where I think, given the kind of wider economic situation, they could have done fans a solid, frankly, and kept prices as they were, which were already, I think, among the highest in the Premier League. So I can totally understand where the Supporters Trust are coming from. This has been raised, obviously, by the Trust with the board. The new members of the fan shadow board have also raised it with the club, but the club said they're not going to change their decision to raise prices. So, I think, you know, fans obviously have every right to protest, and I'd sort of be interested to see how many come out before the United game.
Yeah, well, I'm sure this is a subject we will come back to just before that match. Connected to a degree is the situation regarding Joe Lewis. We spoke in detail about the fact, of course, that he's in big trouble, allegedly for insider trading, but that according to the club, et cetera, he's now no longer directly involved in the running of Spurs. What is your take on that saga?
Well, I was delighted to be off when this news came out last week, was it? Because it was not the kind of story I wanted to really get stuck into. I mean, I think it's obviously pretty seismic, however you look at it. I mean, Spurs have made the point that Joe Lewis is no longer technically the owner. You know, his shares were transferred into a family trust, of which his, you know, certain members of his family are the recipients. You know, but obviously, you know, he has been, you know, very much involved with Spurs for 2 decades now. So it's not a great look. It's difficult to know, really. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it could be a story that kind of has relatively little impact for the club, given the change they made to Lewis's position fairly recently. Equally, you know, it could be a story that kind of, you know, has pretty significant ramifications and has an impact on Enix ownership. We just don't know, and I'll be really intrigued to kind of see where it goes. Main thought is it's just not a great look, and obviously something the club could have done without. You know, we had Paratici fairly recently, you know, being investigated by the Italian football authorities and FIFA, and now we have, you know, Joe Lewis being investigated by police in New York. So I'm sure a headache that the club would rather avoid it, and really intrigued to kind of see how that one plays out.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned actually last week, you just wait until the story about the tea lady comes out. It's still ongoing, but the scandal attached to that is going to put Joe Lewis and Paratici into the shadows. But we shouldn't joke. It's not great. Just a final point. It's amazing how quickly the season jumps up on us, isn't it? And we started the summer by saying, well, it's great. Spurs have signed a couple of players quickly. They're looking good, but now the Kane saga drags on. We're not certain yet about who else is going to come, who else is going to go. Do you fear that there is going to be an element of chaos behind the club as we go into a first season under a new manager?
It feels to me a little bit as though the sort of early summer momentum, getting Postecoglou in early and then making the signings of Maddison and Vicario and then subsequently Solomon, has kind of slowed, and the tour was a bit chaotic. Although from what I hear, you know, it felt much kind of calmer for the people that were there than the previous year with Conte in our career. But it feels like the momentum has kind of picked up again, with obviously Van de Ven seemingly on the verge of signing and Valiers as well. So I don't know. I'm kind of just intrigued to see what the season brings. I mean, as a kind of final thought, I do just think it would be in everyone's interest for the Kane situation to be wrapped up one way or the other. It just does feel like it's hanging over the club, and it's just kind of hard for anyone to kind of move on and focus on anything else while that's still there. So if indeed Bayern Munich have set a deadline of midnight for Spurs to either accept or reject their latest bid, then I don't think that would be a bad thing. You know, it could mean that by the end of this weekend, you know, we either know for sure if Kane's staying or going, and that gives Spurs a kind of week to prepare for the new season, you know, knowing either way whether Kane's there or Kane isn't there. So I do think that would be a good thing. I sort of struggle to know how I feel about Spurs this season until that's resolved, because obviously he's the best player in the Premier League, in my view, and it will make a big difference either way. So, I'm cautiously optimistic still. I think Postecoglou is exciting. I think the transfer business looks like it could end up being relatively good, but so much depends on what happens with Kane.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I mentioned we'll have a reaction pod to the Shakhtar game on Sunday. And if anything has happened with regards to Harry Kane by then, of course, we'll bring you right up to speed with it. Dan, thanks very much. I'm going to go and have another cup of coffee here and then pray that the sun comes out. Always a risk with a staycation. And cross fingers.
A great seafood shack on the beach in Whitstable, I recommend.
Right, I'm heading there straight away. There's a lovely pub as well that serves reasonably priced lager. So I know what I'm going to spend the afternoon doing.
That's great.
And we'll reconvene again next week. We've got that pod on Sunday night. Thanks to Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard. I'm Marcus Buckland. Enjoy your weekend, and get behind the club as always. Come on, you Spurs.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.